Hello and welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast. I'm Pastor Todd Chipman, and our hope here is that you will be encouraged in your faith as you hear how MCC beliefs and practices are fleshed out in the lives of the members of our fellowship. And I am grateful today to have Jim and Diane Langdon and JC and Julia Morrison on the podcast to think about foster care and adoption and support in the local church. This issue is important for me in my own story, product of a teen pregnancy, and my mother gave me up for adoption right away, and I was in a foster home for about a month, the first month of my life. And I don't know anything about those people, but I am thankful to God that he put those folks there to care for me. And the kind of support that must have been there, and the support that even my birth mother had before I was born, and a family taking her in and valuing life. A physician in Omaha, Nebraska, took her in. She'd been kicked out of her home, and for light housework and helping with their children, she boarded there until I was born. And here I am today, so thankful, and have had the privilege and joy of parenting five biological children and two adopted children out of foster care. And they are a great blessing to me. And I have grown to know God so much through the process of fostering and adopting. And MCC has been a part of that. The support that I have received is what led me to write Until Every Child is Home with Moody Publishers, now a couple of years old. But that book is a product of faithful support and friends. And some of those are here today, Jim and Diane Langdon. Jim and Diane, welcome to the Voices of MCC podcast.
Thanks. We're very grateful to be your friends and supporters in your endeavors here. Chipman's and Morrison's both. You guys are great examples of obedience to scripture. You're both fostering children, and we try to be supportive in any way that we can. One of the verses that comes to mind is the one in James about visiting orphans and widows. You guys are acting on God's word by what you do, by bringing them up as your own children. And this is just such a great example of Christian love. And this is the expectation that God has for us. You know, not only are we to love one another, but we're to love everyone, enemies, in the household of God, we're to be especially good to them. So it's our hope that we can help out a little bit here and there. JC and Julia are in the house that we used to live in. And for a story that's probably too long to tell, we had to go to South Carolina and take care of a problem there. And we moved out of the main floor of the house and gave them room to move in. And yet half the house is still full of our stuff. But I hope it's a better situation than what you had in the apartment. And I hope it's quieter and just a better situation all around.
So Jim's support here and Diane's for us in 2015 and 2016 was a great encouragement. And then now, end of 2020 and into 2021 with the Morrisons and Langs, you all exemplify what so many folks at MCC have done. And looking out for us, I remember so many couples and families who came alongside of us in prayer. And you all were in our small group then, our master's community group. And Morrisons are, we all are in the same group now. And so let's welcome JC and Julia. Great to have you on the Voices of MCC podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Well, let's catch up here. Jim has given us a survey of the triangle of relationships here that we're going to talk about. And I want to kind of work forward here now in unpacking specifics. So 2014, Julie and I began to think about foster care. It was August 2014, and what God might be calling our family to. We went to a conference, and Julie and I left. That was actually a luncheon, and left that luncheon here in Kansas City with Focus on the Family's Wait No More ministry. We left that, and we knew that this was something God would have us to do. We prayed about it, thought about it. We began to make it public about 4 or 5 months later. This is January 2015 or so. And we talked with our small group about it. Folks like Jim and Diane began to pray for us and encourage us. And by the end of 2015, our girls were in our home for fostering. And this, though, 2014 really goes back to about 2013 when my family was on vacation in South Carolina at the Langdon's home that we'll talk about in a few moments here again. Jim and Diane owned a home in South Carolina and let various folks from MCC go down for a time and stay and get away. And we were there. And one day, and I write about this until Every Child Is Home in the book, that I decided to put a backpack on as we were in Charleston, South Carolina, touring for a day. And I said that we were going to call this backpack Max or Molly. And this backpack was going to represent a child we might one day think of taking in. Even then, the Lord had just put it on my mind that our kids were growing up and we had structures that we could maybe bring in kids. And so I walked around South Carolina, Max and Molly in the back. I would stop, take the backpack off, pretend we were changing a diaper. It was, you know, the kids got sick of it, to be just blunt, honest. They were sick of it. Yeah. But I played it up all day. I thought, if we're going to ever do this, I want them to know this is not going to be easy. But I wouldn't embarrass them. I wouldn't talk to the backpack around people. You know, I had limits. But it was good to do. And Jim and Diane, your support in those days early meant so much to us. And this it takes us to thinking about MCC support, bringing meals, prayer, encouragement, provision, if we would need something. And when I met JC and Julia, one of the things that we began to talk about was foster care and adoption. So JC and Julia, let's pick that up. What did the Lord do to bring you to MCC? Let's start there.
Yeah, so I missed the first half of that. Our internet's kind of cutting out here. So all in all, what brought us to MCC was we were moving from Portland, Maine, from where I was associate pastor at a church there, and Julia was on staff as well. So we had pulled the trigger and decided to move to Kansas City to finish my master's degree. And really, we were in here for a quick turnaround. I convinced Julia that we'd be here for 2 years. And then we'd be gone because once again, we were moving more than 18 hours away from family. So the promise was 2 years and then we'll be back close to family for the next move. And so we came out here. One of the biggest anxieties I had was finding a local church in the area. Probably was an unfounded anxiety at that, but Julie and I hadn't really ever picked a church together. Portland, Maine was our first church that we entered together, but that was because we were given jobs. And coming out of college, you kind of need one of those. So we went there, and but our college our church in college was the same church, but that was kind of, we stumbled on it on our own. And ended up there together. So yeah, it was a kind of a big anxiety for me. And I started looking through the faculty members at MBTS and found out that they put the churches that they attend or their members or serve at. And so started compiling a list. So we're going through faculty members, get to you. And in there we see that in your bio, there's a passion for foster and adoption. That you had just written a book or it was just about to be published, and that you're a pastor of a local church. So that got put on our list of two or three churches that we really wanted to check out. Then we come to campus. We were moving in. So our first time to Kansas City was to move in. So Julia's parents had made the voyage with us out here. They went to visit campus one day. we got the campus. We started looking around. There wasn't really any tours or anything. And then it was walking through, and out comes Dr. Chipman, kind of sees us square in the eyes, knows that we're brand new, have no idea what the heck's going on, initiates a conversation, just kind of asks what we're doing, and kind of takes us on a mini tour as he's refilling his coffee and his water in between the doctoral seminar, I think is what he was teaching at the time. So he, in his 5 or 10 minute break that he had, he spent that time talking with us and introducing us to, I think it was Dr. Hathaway or another professor there on campus. And yeah, so that's when we met. He talked about being a pastor, and in his staff picture, he still had his glasses on. And so I remember the name. So once he handed us the card and he had to go back and teach and was doing his thing, I looked down and like, Dr. Chipman, I think this is the guy who wrote the book and has a church in town. But because the glasses were like the only thing I could remember about your faculty picture. And so I just was completely clueless. But yeah, so that was like, we got to meet you, decided that, hey, you worked your way to the top of the list of the first visit. We came and visited Masters Community Church and fell in love with it. Pretty much, I'd say probably within the first week or two, we knew it was a serious contender to where we'd be. And then by the time we decided that, all right, if we're going to go check out another church, it'd probably be time to go and do that. We just decided that we felt at ease. We had a piece about staying at Masters Community, and just the people were loving beyond anything that we were ever used to, or even had really a framework for. And coming from our previous church, there was some hurts and things there that needed to be healed. And the Lord just provided this the perfect place and this providence for us to come and do that. So that's what Masters Community Church has been and how we ended up there.
Such a fun story. And I am learning here. I didn't know you already had a list of 2 or 3 and that MCC was on that, either you and me. But I saw you all walking that day with your folks. And it's like, these people maybe don't know where they are. So here, this is the way the restroom is. Here's where the coffee is, you know, at the seminary, and the bookstore is over there. So that was so fun. And it was a delight to actually see you and connect with you. And some of our earliest conversations were, I remember we went out to coffee one night, and I think you'd already read the book, got it quickly and read through it. And I remember, JC, one of the first things that you said about Julia was she is designed to be a mom. She loves kids. And I just remember being struck by that. And then, and Julia, you saying something like, I want to be a mom. And the reality of that, and yet the Lord had not given you children biologically. So what does this mean? And then we began to unpack, well, what does foster care and adoption look like? And that is what, the fall of 2018 when we had those conversations, is that right?
Yeah. Yep.
So here we are, more than 2 years later. Catch us some up to speed on those early conversations and hopes to be parents through foster care and adoption until December 2020, when you actually received a placement of 2 children in need of care in the Missouri foster care system.
Yeah, so we, try to keep it as to the point as possible here, but even from the time that Julie and I started dating, children has been something that we both agreed was part of our future. The joke is that Julia grew up and had always wanted a 15-passenger van for her kids. So the number was 12. She wanted 12 kids. Yeah. And so the joke was I was able to talk her down to 6 because I was around, you know, a good handful there. That was just always part of our growing together, was just that desire for family. And so as we got married, just kind of as we got to a place where we were able to comfortably, you know, we're established to start trying for kids, we just slowly found out that the Lord may not have that for us at this point in time. But through it all, one of the things that has always been there was talks about adoption and if that was something we'd be interested in. Julia's dad was adopted, so that was part of her story. And it was always something that she wanted to do as well. For me, it was a lot of, yeah, that's cool. It's something that like I wasn't opposed to, but never really put a ton. And so even when we were still in the midst of hope, I guess, for our own biological kids, there's still times where, especially in Maine, we were looking at foster care and that sort of thing. We just weren't financially in a situation where we could afford to have even an apartment with an extra room to begin that process. So, so that desire had been there from the beginning. So we get to Kansas City and it's incredibly cheaper than Maine. So we coming here, that was one of the things that we can afford it. That's something that we want to work towards if the Lord wills. So even finding our first apartment was making sure we had an extra bedroom to begin that process. So we would could qualify to foster care if that be where the Lord leads us. And so we got here, we got settled. And we started our paperwork. We reached out to Cornerstones of Care, which is the provider or that foster and family services.
The agency that we went through, yeah.
We reached out to them in like January, I would say. And then COVID hit. So that threw a wrench in everything, obviously, as it did for everything. So it took we didn't get our initial visit to the pre-qualifying or this pre-screening there for till June or July of last year. So of 19 there. No, 20.
What 2020.
Yeah. June 2020. Got that initial screening interview. And then since then it was just a very slow process just with how everything was brand new for everyone, as COVID has done. So that we started our official classes in September, October-ish. And then, we completed them in November and that brought us to get licensed in December and placement in
December, January,
beginning of January. Yeah. Of this year.
Yeah. So we think about 2020 was the year where you began the sort of official process with Cornerstones of Care, the licensing agency, all the paperwork and the delays that can come in that anyway. There can be 1,000 delays. One thing I tell folks, it is a walk of faith like anything I've experienced, because you are dependent on so many links in a long chain, and each one of those has to connect at the right time in order for you to get the paperwork in and to get all things done. But the value of that is it teaches us to trust God. God uses those delays. God uses those inconveniences and the why aren't they calling me back days, weeks, months. and he uses that to prepare us. So let's think about 2020 for just a moment here. You're getting your classes in, and every week, 9 consecutive weeks, you are taking these classes knowing that you could, is it 10 now?
It's 10 weeks. Yeah.
Oh, they've added on since we were there. So it's 10 consecutive weeks, and you have to be there, get that done, then the licensure. So you're knowing that you could get a placement after that. Give me just one reflection of what it was like in those days when it sort of hit you that this is real, that this could happen, and maybe what needs began to come to mind?
Well, our home is licensed for 3 and under. And in that time frame of like becoming licensed and realizing that there could be a child coming to our home in like the next few hours or days, just the anxiety of not feeling prepared emotionally was a big one. But also, like, there are a lot of things that babies need that I was like, I'm not sure, like, we don't know if we'll get a baby or not. We don't know if we'll get a 3-year-old or not. So, like, trying to figure out what the necessities are that we actually needed was something that caused a lot of anxiety for me. Just, like, making sure that we had the things that we needed if we were to get a child in our home within the next few hours or days.
I think for me, I was more concerned about our living situation, especially as we got closer and we started learning more about trauma and different things that these children would be coming from. Part of why we could afford an extra bedroom was because we were in a cheaper apartment complex. And, you know, what typically comes with that kind of scene is just some verbal disputes and drug usage and just general things like that take place. We were right next to a highway and lots of noise and banging, that sort of stuff. So the more I learned about that, the more I wanted to get us out of that environment. It was just one thing for Julia and I to be there. And even if we were to have a biological child, we would be free from those sort of triggers and trauma points there. But knowing that these kids would most likely be coming from areas of drug abuse, drug addiction, violence, even just yelling and screaming, just being a common thing, it was something that we really desired to start looking. It didn't help that we weren't extremely pleased with our apartment complex to begin with, but then once we started looking at it seriously from a parental or a parental standpoint, it was kind of became one of the major needs that we were beginning to look at. What would it look like to get out of the apartment and find a place that kind of met those needs or a little bit more stable and better suited to help care and help heal some potential children.
So fun to hear of those reflections just from you, right? Snapshots of late 2020 and what life was like. And it just takes me back to some of our MCG gatherings. So for our Voices of MCC podcast listeners, Langdon's, Morrison's, and Chipman's are in the same master's community group. So each week we were together, their prayer requests shared. We kind of know what's going on in each other's lives. And I know folks in our church, I get a chance to talk maybe more with folks than it's part of my job. So I kind of know a little what's going on in folks' lives. And I knew that Morrison's were thinking of moving in light of foster care adoption possibilities, but also just maybe a better situation, even if it was an apartment. Langdon's, we had talked over 2020 as well about you all perhaps moving, relocating here in Kansas City to a different home, maybe something that would be just more ideal in terms of levels and these kinds of things. And so I knew that both of these conversations were happening. And then one day at MCG, as we are done, we're sitting in our living room here. And I remember, Jim, you talking to JC and Julie, say, well, I want to talk to you afterward, and just beginning this conversation about maybe renting your home to JC and Julia when you would move. And I remember, I mean, I don't remember every conversation that happens after MCG, but I just remember just hearing that from across the room, and several thoughts came to my mind. One is, wow, that was just immediately like, oh my, because I knew of two situations here that I had not in any way even thought of putting together. So, wow. And then next I thought, wow. So it's like, wow, that's amazing. And then, wow, that's just Jim and Diane being Jim and Diane. That's people of MCC in many ways, just they see a need. I want to try to meet it. Here's an opportunity. So listeners want to know, Langdon's, what stimulated you? What gave you the idea of, hey, they have a need. a house maybe could be a better fit for them. We want to move. Maybe we could just keep our house and rent. How did that process go in your minds?
Go ahead.
I knew I had been talking to JC and Julian. We knew they wanted a new situation, and we had the house in South Carolina that was going to be vacated end of November. We had to go down and do some repairs to put it on the market. So it just, the timing for this was definitely God's timing for South Carolina being vacated and the Morrisons needing a place to go. And even in the search for a house, you can see God's hand in it, because the house we bought in late January, or the house we put an offer in on late January, there has not been a house within our price range since. Not one that we would consider living in. This is all God's timing and what God wants. And we are currently living with our son and his wife and just loving it. Really. We're with our grandkids too. And we're so glad that house is a house for kids. And we're so glad that there are kids there. And of course you too.
Yes, I just, again, it was wow. And then just wow. Like knowing Jim and Diane's intentionality and thoughtfulness, and knowing JC and Julia's heart to take in kids and their need at the moment. And again, as in our living room, I remember hearing this thinking, I think this could happen. Like within 5 seconds of time, my mind went from just this shock and wow to like, wow, they're probably going to move into the Langdon's home. I mean, just this like domino effect of thoughts with very rapidly, this could happen. And well, if it could happen, then maybe there are kids that the Lord has for JC and Julia to help for a time, or maybe longer. We don't know. That's why foster care is such a walk of faith, because you don't know what's going to happen next week, next month, next year. And the children that you take in might one day get your last name, or they may go back to biological parents, and the readiness of that to let go. But for this time and this season, a remarkable sense of generosity, a generous eye, and support along the way for JC and Julia here. So Morrisons, let's think now. You've had a couple of kids in your home for, is it 5 or 6 weeks now we're at?
It's probably closer to 6, yeah.
Closer to 6 weeks. So one of the things that I've tried to lead MCC to do is think about folks who are going to foster and adopt and be praying for them and ready to take in, and various folks I know have helped out in different ways. What have there been needs that have surprised you? Or to frame the question differently, if there is a couple or a family 6 months or a year from now in our church who wants to foster, and we are going to get ready to help them out as a church, what do we need to be aware of?
I think just one of the things that's been, it hasn't been an issue, but I think it would be beneficial, is especially if as this continues and as hopefully more people get involved, is this a continuing to grow and understand exactly what's going on and what this looks like for both the kids in the system and as far as what's happening and what
Go ahead and repeat that, JC. I think we had a bit of a delay there in internet. Friends who are listening, there was about a 4 or 5 second delay. So go ahead, JC, pick that up again.
I'm going to stop our video here so we don't lose anything more.
Okay.
So I think it would be helpful to just continue to learn more about foster care and adoption from both the parent side of things and the kids side of things. One of the things that I think would be helpful, especially when it comes to legally, like what are we actually able to discuss with parents and other people? And knowing that there's things that we just simply can't talk about. And so some questions are better just not asked, or if they are, just to, you know, if we say, sorry, we can't answer those things, to not be offended. It's not that we don't love or we don't want to tell you, it's just that we can't. But for beyond that, just understanding some of the basic things that, what the system looks like, and just kind of a better, it would help grow just kind of a better general understanding and empathy for each other. And that's just something that's going to come through more interaction and just education. So I think I'd be encouraged to see even those who may not be interested in that, the actual care portion of it, but just to go and to go to one of these conferences that we've gone to in the past, with hopefully COVID will subside enough where those things could begin again, but just to be in and amongst it and hear some of the issues and just pain points, just to kind of better understand. So it's not so much, I think we've been cared for very well as far as needs go. I think the one thing that would be kind of a little bit more helpful is a better understanding, because the continual breaking down and continual explaining of kind of the common things is, it gets kind of tiring, especially at the beginning where you just don't want to keep saying your same thing over and over again. So just.
Yes, those are good words. The education of the system and what that means, and the kind of conversations of support that can lead to. I know that words are very helpful for foster parents. Words of encouragement, but also time silence and just being there, and what needs to be said, and how a church family can help. And I appreciate how I know folks have offered babysitting or food or activities or even coming over and playing and clothes. All those things are important, and I look forward to the next family that we can support in this way. And the Lord does this around the world through families like Langdon's, like others who've helped out. This fall, I preached at a conference that a church had in Ohio. I think both couples know about this. They had a foster care conference, and they had several agencies there. And this pastor, he has fostered and adopted. Two of the other pastors on their staff had a larger church just outside of Columbus, Ohio. And so I just preached on support and what churches could do. And I challenged the church to help with childcare for families who are fostering, adopting, to go and give parents a night out, to provide resources and money for vacations, for trips to go see Ohio State football play. And I didn't even know at that time they'd be in, you know, national title game, whatever, but how these kinds of activities can. And after I preached there, that pastor texted me later that afternoon. I was flying back and got some texts when I landed, and he had remarked that right after church, several folks came up and wanted to help. Yeah, one family gave a gift of $5,000, just wrote a check that day for $5,000 for the church to help out, and just remarkable kinds of generosity. And I thought, this is what God does. It's not just MCC, it's other places where God burdens people to help those who are fostering and adopting. He does this so that everyone can participate and have a role in what's to come in the future. And I am thankful for what the Lord is doing. And at this moment here of recording, we don't know what the Lord has for you all, JC and Julia, with these boys, but we're thankful for the time that I get to have with them now, and look forward to whatever we can do to help you, and what you are doing to help them. And however long that is, we trust the Lord's providence. And Jim and Diane, we're so thankful for your help, and look forward to more along the way as we see needs and meet them. Jim, as you said earlier, looking to the household of faith and doing what we can from Galatians 6 and James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and Father is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And that's what generosity does, and I'm grateful for that. Well, friends, thanks for taking time. Langdon's and Morrison, so thankful for what the Lord is doing among us and look forward to more of it in the days to come. Friends who are listening today, grateful for Alex Volkman producing the Voices of MCC podcast, and Pastor Adam Anderson and Caleb Sheffield for music. And until next time, may the Lord bless and keep you, and look forward to circling back on the next episode of the Voices of MCC podcast.